Morning. My name is Charles Morgan. Word is Live Ministries. I just appreciate all of you listening. We got so many ways, radio, YouTube, Facebook, podcast. There's so many ways that you can just go online and search Word is Alive Ministries, and you can find all these things. We got so many people that help us, that support us, and continue to look after us. And we're just going to continue on until the Lord tells us to stop this. But this morning I'm going to be in the book of Amos. Amos, this is one of my favorite Old Testament books. Amos is a guy, he's just an ordinary guy. God calls him and says, I've got a message. I need you to take it. And he did, and it wasn't always well received. You know, there were a lot of them that looked at it and said, you need to go back home. And he said, I'd be more than glad to go back home, but that's not what God told me to do. And so here in chapter 3, he's speaking to the nation of Israel. And so many things in here, I think we can relate to our personal life, our nation, and what we're going through. Verse 1, it says, hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he hath nothing taken? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin or trap is for him? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have nothing at all? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city and the Lord hath not done it? Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. The lion hath roared, and who will not fear? The Lord hath spoken, and who can but prophesy? Publish in the palaces at Ashdod, and in the palaces of in the land of Egypt, and say, assemble yourselves upon the mountains of Samaria, and behold, the Lord tumults in the midst thereof, and they're oppressed in the midst thereof, for they know not to do right, saith the Lord, who store up violence and robbery in their palaces. We're going to stop right there. The message that Amos took was judgment. He went to the nation of Israel. He took judgment. He talked to kings. He talked to the priests, and they didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to hear what God said. They got to the point where they didn't stay in tune with listening to God. You know, we have to stay in tune with listening to God. We've got to be prepared to listen to his word, even if it's something we don't want to hear. You know, it's like if you go to your doctor and they give you some bad news and you just ignore it, you're not in tune to that. You know, you've got to be willing to take it and do something about it. You know, and there are things that you can do and things that maybe you can't do. And God is saying, you're my people. You're my people, so I'm going to take care of you. And that's what he starts out with, is hear the word of the Lord that has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt. He brought them out of the land of Egypt. He said, I'm the one that did this. I'm speaking to you. I'm sending someone to you to tell you exactly what you're supposed to do and what you haven't been doing. We need to get to the point that we understand what we haven't been doing. We got to in our churches. It's an amazing thing. And I'm having discussions lately about worship, you know, and we've taken this and we say, well, we've got a worship leader over there. And it's usually a person that can sing and do music really well. And we call that our worship. And we isolate that and say, that's our worship. Now, I'm not against singing. I'm not against songs. I think it's great. And I think that should be part of it. But then we isolate the preaching and just say, well, that's just a guy speaking, just somebody getting up and giving a sermon, instead of saying that is part of worship too. And when we walk out of those doors, I know we say, well, we walk out to serve. No, we continue to worship. Worship is a daily thing. Worship is something that we can continue with. And it's that relationship with God that we maintain. These people, as children of Israel, had not done that. And I see this in our nation. It's an amazing thing. We're allowing this. We elect leaders that attack Christianity. We hear this attack all the time and say, well, these people and that people, you know, and even within our churches, we've said, oh, we've acquiesced to that and said, well, that's okay. We're going to change to what the world wants us to be. We're going to be a much kinder, gentler people. I'm not talking about violence. I'm just talking about telling the truth. You know, people, Amos came in, he told the truth and they didn't like it. That's not what we're here for. We're not here to make people like us. We're here to take the message of God out and say, look, here's what he said. He said, if you don't accept Christ, you're going to hell. That's a tough message to take to anybody, but that's the truth. And that's what God is still saying. He said, I'm still God. You're supposed to do these things. Our churches have come to the point where they don't believe in evangelism anymore. What is evangelism? It's just taking the word of God out. You know, we attach these big titles to it, I think, so we can say, well, I'm not qualified to do that. You know, it's got a big title. It's got a big name, evangelism. No, taking the word out, just speaking to someone about Jesus Christ. Just taking your message out of what happened to you in your life. And tell them, this is my witness. I'm telling you something. We call this witnessing. We got so many words that we use, and we got churchese types of things, but they are simplistic. You know, he didn't give us anything that we couldn't do in his service. He said, take this message throughout the whole world. Your world's right next to you. Try that. So Amos had gone here and he told him, he said, look, this is God's message. The one that brought you out of Egypt. They all knew that. They all understood that. So they were okay with that. We're okay with hearing, well, you know, he's the God of great things, you know, and he's this and he's this, you know, and yeah, you know, I go to church occasionally, you know, and boy, when they have these songs, I raise my hands when they have these songs. And then you can't remember what the sermon was about or even what the scripture was, or you don't go home and study your Bible. You know, I've got a good friend who's an evangelist and he said, you know, you need to read this every day. Start your day out. Now I will tell you this. I'm not very good at starting my day out because I'm groggy when I get up. So it takes me a little coffee before I can get into it. But we need to get into it. He said, you have I known of all the families of the earth. He said, you're my set aside. Why were they set aside? The Christ was going to come through that. Was going to come through that nation. Then in verse 3, we hear this a lot. It said, can two walk together except they be agreed? Now I hear this a lot, and I've heard this in churches, you know, and more often than not, the person that quotes it means, you need to agree with me. That's what they mean by that. You know, you need to come over to my side. You need to do this, and you need to do exactly what I tell you to do. Well, that's not what it's talking about. That's not even referencing between two humans. It's talking about between God and this nation. He said, can two walk together except they be agreed? Look, here's the thing. You know, I told you that when I hear this, most of the time it's someone saying, you know, you need to agree with me. And I'm telling you right now, it's not anywhere close to that. It's you need to agree with God. We all need to. Our nation needs to agree with God. Our nation needs to come back and say, this word of God is important. Our churches even need to come back and say, this word of God is important. And it's not so that we can get rid of certain parts of it. I'm telling you what, major denominations departing from the word of God. And we sit back and so many say, well, that's okay. You know, I like that. Well, sure you like that because that means you don't have to get saved in order to go to heaven. Now we get books that say there is no hell. Oh, I like that. Yeah. And people being drawn away. Well, Satan's got so many great tools and a bunch of them are people and he uses them and people listen to them because it sounds like a good message. Well, they had priests here. They had a high priest here in the nation of Israel. He wasn't telling them the truth. Did he hold the office? Yes, he held the office, but he wasn't telling them the truth. That's why God sent Amos. Amos was an ordinary guy. He was a herdsman from Tekoa. He was just sitting out there. He was gathering sycamore fruit. And he even told that high priest. He said, I'd be more than glad to go back and do what I was doing. He said, I didn't have to talk to you when I was doing that, when I was in my home country. He said, I didn't have to worry about you and the king and all these other people, but he said, God has a message. Today I want to tell you, God has a message that when the people, especially his people, do not follow after him, there is judgment. You say, well, I don't want to hear that. Well, I don't like it either, but it's true. We have to follow after God. When we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we're saying we're going to make Him God of our life. We're going to do everything He tells us to. And if we can't, we're going to come to Him and go, I'm sorry. I apologize because I want to walk together with You, Lord. That's what I want. You know, it's an amazing thing is that can two walk together? That's exactly what Jesus did with His disciples. He walked along the shores of Galilee and said, come follow Me. And they walked together. For 3 years, they walked together. They listened. They agreed with Him. They said, we're going to be with you. Although they didn't understand it all. They didn't really get it. There were times that they did things that were wrong. There were times that they got wrong ideas, like saying, well, who's going to be the greatest? You know, and He's like, it's not about that. Can two walk together except they be agreed? No, not really. They're going to argue. We see that in our nation right now, in our political system, don't we? We see that in our nation, in our people. We see that in our nation, in our churches. There's been a division brought into our nation. And our politicians, and I'm telling you what, it's on both sides of the aisle, feed it. They feed it. And we've got 24-hour news, and people are watching it. We've got internet. We've got our cell phones. We're all constantly getting these updates and things, and we're constantly being pulled apart. And it's infiltrated every aspect of our society, including our churches. Churches are dwindling. There's so much division within them because we're not walking together with God. We're looking at people and political systems and saying, well, you don't believe the way I do, and I don't believe the way you do, and I hate you. And where did we come up with this? It's from the father of lies. It's from Satan. He's driven that division in there. He's driven that wedge, and it's working quite effectively. We see the word of God being misused and unused. We see things happening within denominations and churches, and we say, how did this happen? We didn't walk with God. We decided we could walk on our own. We decided we could create our own doctrine and said, well, this is good. We've had people within our denominations. And I'm with the Southern Baptist, and I'm telling you, we're in bad shape. We had people in there that were completely opposed to God's word, and they stayed in there, and people were okay with that, and then we elected more. It's not the first time it's happened. It won't be the last time. But I'm telling you, we've got to get back to this word of God so that we can look at it and go, this is our guideline, not what somebody tells me. You need to read your Bible so that you can walk together with God and be agreed with Him. The only way you're going to know how to agree with Him is to know what He said. Amos brought the word of God. And you know what they said? We don't want it. Don't want it. Go home. Leave us alone. We don't want to hear it. You know, some people probably listen to me and turn off the radio or just listen for a few minutes on the internet and say, no, don't want it. That's okay. I mean, that's your choice. But I'm telling you, we all got to listen to it, including me. Got to listen to what God wants us to do. Amos listened to what God wanted him to do, and he did it. He said, can two walk together except they be agreed? Nope. Can't happen. Not going to happen. They're not going to walk together. You may be meeting up, but you're not going to walk together. That means to pull together, to work together. He gives some analogies there about the lion with his prey and taking anything to the den or catching a bird or anything like that. He said, can any of this happen? Can a trumpet be blown in the city and people not be afraid? You know, it should be. If you hear the warning, you ought to know it. We live in tornado country, and all the cities have warning systems, and they test them every once in a while, and people will hear them and go, oh, there's something going on. I need to get my safe place. I need to do whatever it takes to get out of this storm and not be there. They're warning systems so that people know what is going on. So that when they hear that and they get educated in that, that when you hear this, here's what's happening. We need to know that. So we need the warning system that the word of God hit, you know, this shall trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid. But he's saying, yeah, that's what's happening with you. You're hearing the warning and you're not afraid. You don't, we don't have a fear of God. We look at it and go, well, big deal, you know, it's nothing, you know, we got this, we got this, we got our medical establishment, we got our politicians, we've got this and that. We've got it all taken care of. It'll all be okay. I'll take you back a couple of years. What happened when we had this disease, this virus that was brought into our world? Did we turn to our churches? Did we turn to our God? No, in fact, we turned away from him, even within our churches. People, oh, no, no, we can't go in there, but I can go to Walmart. I can go over here. I can go to there. But no, no, I can't go into church. I'll tell you what I really believe happened with all those. All those people who only attended because they knew that they were going to be made guilty because somebody was going to call them, realized at that time nobody's going to call them because the church house was closed anyway. And so they took that opportunity to step out of church because they didn't want to be there in the first place. They just went there and they didn't come back. Bottom line, that's what happened. You say, well, I don't see it that way. Well, I saw it a lot. I saw people say things about churches that I never thought would ever say that kind of thing. I've heard people say things about preachers and pastors and all kinds of people that stood up for what they believed in and said, no, this is what we have to do. Now we're seeing evidence that all that really caused a huge problem. Everywhere, our schools, our churches, our homes, everywhere. Even some evidence coming out saying it wasn't even the right thing. Not medically supported. Some of us knew that. Some of us didn't care. But that attack came on and we decided we don't want that. Bad thing is, people just disregarded this word of God. We see that in our social system right now where we disregard the word of God. We say, oh, well, this science tells us this. And so we go with that. Folks, Jesus Christ said he made them male and female. You're made one or the other. That's where you're made. The rest of the stuff is our minds and what we want to do. It's choices. It's choices. Now, that's not a popular message, but it's God's message. But see, we've decided we want to discard that because we become enlightened. We know better now. We know better than God, so we'll just take that out. And, you know, I don't like the way that's worded, so we're going to reinterpret that and we're going to change it, you know, and that's not what it really says. And if you go back to the originals and stuff like this and I hear all kinds of things, instead of saying, yeah, that's what God's word said. Even when they all agree, you know, no, we don't want that. So he said, shall this trumpet be blown and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city and the Lord hath not done it or taken care of it? You know, we see these things. We see these things. We see them in our nation. We see them in our families. Verse 9, he says, publish in the palaces. Publish this. We need to get this out. We need to take it to everywhere we can. And if you can't do it, if you say, man, I'd love to go to a foreign mission, but I'm just not called to do that, you know, but I want to find you a missionary and support that. I've got evangelist friends, man. I'll put links up there, you know, and tell you these guys go throughout the nation preaching the gospel. Some of them go to foreign countries and preach the gospel. I praise God for that. That's what they're called to do. And they do that. Support them. Find one. You can talk to your pastor. Say, man, I want to support somebody. I want to do it myself. I want to take the word of God and get it out there. And I'm going to use my financial means to do that. Or maybe God is calling you to go somewhere. I'm telling you what, it's an incredible thing. I am not called to be a missionary. But I have gone to a foreign country and it was an amazing experience. It was an amazing experience to see people that didn't have all of the things that we have. Yet they were praising God. They were giving him worship all day. I mean, we went down to Honduras and they were starting the morning and all day long, and they had come out of the fields and they were sleeping in block buildings, you know, and they would give us a plastic chair and say, no, you sit there. Don't you sit on the hard benches. You're preaching to us. And when we would preach, they would listen and they would take notes. I mean, they were very attentive. They weren't wondering what was going on. And when we got done and they said, hey, we're going to come back in a couple hours. Will you come back and preach to us again? My goodness. I mean, in our churches, boy, you better not stand in the doorway. They're going to run over you and you suggest coming back. And it's like, no, you got more to do. It's an amazing thing. So maybe you can't do that, but you can support somebody that does. Publish in the palaces, Ashdod, and in the palaces in the land of Egypt, and say, assemble yourselves upon the mountains of Samaria. Assemble yourselves. The Bible tells us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. I know a lot of, well, that doesn't mean church. Well, you know, they were going around establishing churches. That's what they were doing. That's what the Apostle Paul did. He went around establishing local churches. You need to find you a local church, somewhere that you can be. And right now, I mean, we have means of transportation that you can travel. If you say, well, I can't find anything close to me, you can travel a little ways. You can do that. Well, I don't really want to get that far from home. Then find you a local church. Get somewhere close and go in there and worship with those people. I'm telling you right now, I want to see people saved through this ministry. But I want to see them get into a church, a local church after that, and serve with those people. Because that's what we're supposed to do. Not only do we need to serve through that local church, but we also need those people. We need support. We need it because we're downtrodden by the world. We're beat down by the world, and we need to rely upon one another to say, hey, I've got you and you got me, knit together. I'm telling you, there may come a time when it's going to get even worse. He said to publish this, to assemble yourselves. Behold, the great tumults in the midst thereof and the oppressed in the midst thereof. It says, for they know not to do right, saith the Lord, who store up violence and robbery in their palaces. He said, they're not doing right. They're not doing right. Folks, we see that in our world today. Violence everywhere. It's just like a constant thing. Just pop up one after another. People killing other people. And for no reason. I mean, it's not where somebody got into a fight. It's just going and killing people. Going and robbing people and killing them while you're robbing them. It's if we don't care any more about God's creation. God's special creation, us. You know, he spoke everything into existence except mankind. He said, he formed him out of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils, and he became a living soul. We've lost that sanctity of life. We don't care about it anymore. As a society, you say, well, I do. I'm not talking about every individual. I'm talking about as a society, as a whole. You can see this, that there's no caring about it. I mean, it hurts to see someone get killed. I don't care who they are. I don't care where they're from. And we're seeing this. We're seeing little children getting killed and drive-bys and things like that. Kidnappings, murders, robberies, just violence and violence and violence. He said they don't know to do right. They need to be told. We need to spread the message, but first we got to get it in our own hearts. We got to get in our own hearts and say, this is what it's supposed to be. Amos had a message for these people. They didn't want to receive it, but he still brought it. Folks, we've got to take it out there whether anybody wants to hear it or not. He goes on in this chapter, and we don't read all of it, but he talks about it. He said, you know, telling them about coming back to him. But he talks about, in the day that I shall visit transgressions of Israel upon him, I will also visit the altars of Bethel, and the horns of the altar shall be cut off and fall to the ground. He said, when I bring it, I'm going to bring it. And nobody's going to be able to stand in my way. When I bring this transgressions to light, when I chastise them. Now, here's the thing of it. God will chastise his own. You know, I've said this before that if I go into a store and I see somebody's kid laying on the floor throwing a fit, I'm going to walk the other way. Even if I got to go down that aisle, I'll wait. Because that's not my child. That's their responsibility. Let them take care of it. But when my children were small and they would act up, I took care of it because they were my children. It was my responsibility. See, when we say we belong to Christ and we truly are his, he's going to take care of that when we get out of line. First of all, child of God, I'm talking to you. Get back in line. Let's get our churches back online. Let's get the Bible back in our pulpits. And if you go to a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, well, you need to praise God and try to get somebody else in there. If that's the only way you can talk to them about Jesus, say, let me take you to church. I'll come by and pick you up. I'll take you to lunch afterwards. You say, what good will that do? Well, gives them an incentive to go in there. You say, oh, you come in here, you sit with me, and we'll, you know, I'll explain things to you. I want you to hear this message of God. I want you to see the way these people get together. You know, it's an amazing thing when lost people come in and they see a church that is working together. They're amazed at that because they didn't think that's what happened. They thought, well, these people are just this way and they're that way and they're hateful and they're mean. If a lost person walks into your church, you ought to be the first one back there shaking their hand. Or just a visitor coming in. You ought to be back there shaking their hand and going, hey, glad to meet you. They may be a child of God. Maybe a great addition to your church that worked to take the message out. Or they may be a lost person that's coming in there that they were led in there for some reason. And they need to hear that message. But first of all, they need to hear you say hello to them. And say, I want to welcome you in. Folks, our nation is under judgment. I have no doubt about that. I don't believe we're going to be. I hear these preachers say, well, if we don't straighten up, we're going to be under judgment. You know, that's what a lot of these high priests were saying. They were saying, oh, no, we're okay right now. I'm telling you right now, we're not okay right now. I just want to be very adamant about that. We are not okay. Our nation is not okay. Our church in America is not okay. We need to get back online. We need to get back to the Word of God. We need to get back where we can walk together with Him so that we can take that message out there. I want to be an Amos. I want to bring the message and I want to bring the truth, whether anybody likes it or not. And I know there are other Amoses out there, other people that are saying the same things. I know there are other men that are standing in pulpits and preaching that Word of God. And there are a lot of people who don't like it. I hear them a lot of times on the radio, even some that have passed away, and I hear about them getting mail because of stuff that they said that's truth, that's from the Word here. And people don't like it, but that's okay. You don't have to like it. Let it sink in. You know, recently I chomped on a bone and broke a tooth. And it hurt, and I thought, man, you know, I've got to do something. I went in there and I didn't like what the dentist said. You know what his solution was? It wasn't cheap. I didn't want to hear it because what I had to do cost me money, but I needed to do it to save my tooth. And although I didn't like the message, I knew I had to do something about it. I had to either say, yes, let's take care of it so that I can have this tooth, or I could have said, nah, let's not bother. And he said, eventually it's going to crack and then it'll die. And then we'll have to take it out. So see, I had to take that truth and do something with it. Today you have to do something with the truth. The Bible says, all of sin and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. That's what God said. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's our gift. Eternal life, but only through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible said, if you'll confess the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's the truth. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the truth. But without Jesus Christ, you're bound for an eternal hell, eternal punishment, eternity away from God. Why would you want to do that when you can say, I want the Lord. I want to turn my life over to him. I want to walk with him because I've been walking with the world and it hadn't worked. or child of God, maybe you've been walking with the world and you know you're supposed to get back and walk with God, please do that. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Answer is no. So if you're walking with anybody else but the Lord, you're walking with the wrong person. Thank you for allowing me to be with you today. My name is Charles Morgan. Word is Alive Ministries.